prepare to look at these songs of Christmas that are so familiar, I want to try something with you. In a moment, John is going to flash a picture up on the screen. And I want you to read it as fast as you can out loud. Okay? Are you ready? Get set. Go! Okay. Now, I heard bird in the bush. Right? Does that sound correct? A bird in the bush. Okay. Let's go back and look at it. A bird in the bush. You see, something psychological happens when we become familiar with something. We tend to read what we already anticipate it's going to be. I think that's what happens with Christmas carols. Christmas carols often were texts that were written as poems to express someone's meditative thoughts about Christmas, then put to music because it was so popular. That is true for the song we're going to look at today. So it might behoove us, that's a word my grandmother used to use, it might be good for us to take and look again at some of the texts of these carols. The one we're going to look at today, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, was by a Unitarian minister in New York. His name was Edmund Sears. A Unitarian minister doesn't usually get Christmas carols in a hymnal, because part of being a Unitarian is to deny the deity of Christ, the very thing that is focused upon. Obviously, though, Edmund Sears had a wonderful, high divinity look at Christ in the way that he penned things. But he doesn't talk about the baby. He doesn't focus on the aspects of the physical birth of Jesus. Yet his entire focus is upon the message that the angels bring, found only in Luke's gospel. It's an echo of a prophetic vision that was penned 500 years before Jesus came. In chapter 9 of Isaiah, a passage that we are familiar with as we approach the Christmas season, there is the prophetic vision of Isaiah of the coming of the Messiah. He writes in verse 6 and 7, "For a child has been born for us. A son has been given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Now, if we look at Israel today, have we seen the fulfillment of that peace? Or are we looking for something in the wrong framework? Have we become so familiar with peace as an ideal that we have missed the peace that is available to us? That's what we're going to explore through this Christmas carol today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this season of Advent, a time to once again not only get out the boxes and trees and lights and all the stuff, not only to go shopping on Black Friday, not only to be anticipating the parties of Christmas, but also in the midst of the chaos of our lives, to find you in some new ways, to hear your voice, to beckon at your call, to become transformed. To that end, take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and thoughts together. For Lord, you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Interestingly, Edmund Sears wrote this a decade before the Civil War broke out. It was a time when, although the nation was not in war, was a time of civil discord. Already there was much talk about slavery as an issue. Already it had become a major platform in the political arena. Already Sears saw what was going on as people did not respect one another. He himself was educated at Harvard Divinity School. He was now 39 years old. He had been a minister for 15 years. As a minister, he had watched people listen to his sermons and go out and act contrarily and meanly to people. He tried to be an example of that. Daily he would go to homeless shelters. He would take people in. He would do things for people. But he saw that things were not getting better. And he was trying to get ready to preach a Christmas sermon. And he was wringing his hands, not knowing what he should do, because he believed that every Christian should be involved in reaching out to the lost, to the helpless, to the poor, in some way. That there should be a concern that lets the church be the beacon, the light on a hill. And so as he was searching for an idea and a little tired as a preacher, he pulled out from his files a hymn that he had written 15 years before. In addition to being a Unitarian minister, he was also a publisher. It had been published first as a poem, but also under a different tune as a hymn. He's the only Unitarian minister to have one Christmas carol in a book, let alone in the old books he had two. Because the first Christmas carol was a rehearsal written 15 years earlier when he was a young 24-year-old anticipating preacher. And he called it Calm on the Listening Ear of Night. And I want to read to you that because I want to compare it to what he saw in this new Christmas carol. Because what he did is he took out that old Christmas carol. It spawned him to write a new Christmas carol. And his Christmas message became the old carol, his few comments, and the new carol. Hear the words of Calm on the Listening Ear of Night. Calm on the listening ear of night come heaven's melodious strains, where wild Judea stretches far her silver-mantled plains. Kind of hopefully see Judea in that, don't you? Celestial choirs from courts above shed sacred glories there, and angels with their sparkling lyres make music on the air, make music on the air. The answering hills of Palestine send back the glad reply and greet from all their holy heights the dayspring from on high. O'er the blue depths of Galilee there comes a holier calm, and Sharon waves in solemn praise her silent groves of palm. Glory to God, the sounding skies, loud with their anthems ring. Peace to earth, goodwill to men from heaven's eternal King. Light on thy hills, Jerusalem. The Savior now is born, more bright on Bethlehem's joyous plains. Breaks the first Christmas morn. Glory to God, the lofty strain, the realms of ether fills. How sweeps the song of solemn joy o'er Judah's sacred hills. Glory to God, the sounding skies, loud with their anthems ring. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's eternal King. This song, or carol, comes from a hopeful place. It's an optimistic young minister. At a time when his world seemed prosperous and hopeful. But 15 years later, when he pinned the second to the exact pentameter, it was a more serious world. His labor had been hard. He saw the world around him deteriorating in public discourse, in the way that people treated one another, in the way that the world was pulling apart at the seams. And that optimistic view of the holy night with the peace and joy abounding in the first hymn became written as a labored, apprehensive expression of a humankind in desperate need of Jesus' birth. Now, I don't know about you, but until I understood all this, I always thought this was a very optimistic Christmas carol. Peaceful, joyful, wondrous. But his first congregation heard the distinction between the two. Where today we think of this as joyful and uplifting, the first congregation saw it as a charge or a challenge to humanity. The first talks about heaven's eternal King. But in the second, it became heaven's all-gracious King. A gracious King is needed when people can't get along. Like a gracious parent or grandparent is needed when kids can't get along. The calm night became a clear night. He was seeing things more really. And the song of solemn joy of 1834 was supplanted by a world that lay in solemn stillness in 1849. Let's look at the lyrics. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Have you ever seen a cartoon where something magically touches something and the colors drift and it becomes beautiful? The world was in need of such a touch. Peace on earth, goodwill to men from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Christmas time, we are told by psychologists, can be the loneliest time for some people. Because we hype up the need for family. We hype up the love. We hype up everything. And people who don't experience that are plunged into depression. And the world becomes still and empty. And we, as the church, as the people of God, need not to just be showing up at worship, but to be that presence where we are. If there is an angel touching this world to color it, it's to color it because God wants it colored. Amen? And how is that going to happen unless it is done through us? unless at workplaces we let people know they are loved because God loves them. To hear the angels sing, angel simply means messenger. Are you that messenger? Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. It's sad and lonely plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever over its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. O ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours. Come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road. And hear the angels sing. Sometimes what we need to do in the heavy frenzy of our world in Advent is stop and breathe and think. There were a couple things that happened in my family this weekend. Thanksgiving is always a time when stuff happens in families. And it occurred to me that some of the squabbles, not of the children, because I expected of them, but of the adults, were tearing the adults apart from their perspective. And it was sad because they needed to breathe. They needed to stop because they were working themselves in a frenzy they couldn't change. And I did say a couple of times, it's not going to help. And then I'd hug them. But it's hard. It's hard to rest beside the weary road. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old. Isaiah, we just read. When with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole world sing back the song which now the angels sing. This hymn that we sing was written to a world in need. Yet it's interesting, he had penned 5 verses. And the one that's taken out is maybe the most helpful. The omitted verse, which he wrote as verse 2, goes like this. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world hath suffered long. Beneath the angel's strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. When we're caught up in the strife of life, it's hard for Christmas to come. But the truth is, the Christmas story is about chaos. It's about everything that's crazy. There's a part of that story where infants are killed. There's a part of that story where a homeless family is looking desperately for a place to sleep. There's a part of that story where a king wants to assassinate the very baby that's born. There is drama in this story, there is pain, and there is chaos. And yet Jesus is born and grows and teaches. And in his words, He promises the peace the angels promised. He promises the peace that the prophets foretold. Hear his words in John chapter 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. What is the peace the world gives? The number one thing people say they want for their children is happiness. Because happiness will bring peace. Yet psychologists tell us that's not true. Happiness often brings a desire for more. Peace is separate from happiness. Peace is contentment with where and how you are. And sometimes we're not happy. But we can be peaceful. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me so that the world may know that I love the Father. But my peace I give you. The message of this song is one of peace. The prophets foretold it. The angels sang it. But it was written, and yet it didn't stop 11 years later the outbreak of the Civil War. Because international strife is everywhere, isn't it? International strife, national strife, the economy, the political arena, our schools, the recent outbreak of accusations of sexual abuse, abusing children, families. There's tension and arguments. Spousal abuse, child abuse. We live with anxiety, guilt, insecurity. And we've tried so many things on an international level. We keep plugging away. Treaties that are violated. Negotiations that fail. War that's tried and failed. We pass laws on the national level against corruption and violence, but they still increase. People are still in pain. And yet, the Bible promises that we can have peace. So what is that peace promised by the angels? Jesus said it has nothing to do with an outer calm. It has to do with the constant understanding that God's in control. When that medical diagnosis comes and fear rises, when someone loses a job, when the economy tanks your 401k, who's in control? God. It says he cares about the widows and the orphans. He tells us that's the mark of being a follower of mine, that you love what I love, and I love those who are marginalized in this world. There's an old story about a contest put on by a well-known gallery for artists to submit their greatest expressions of peace. And during the Day of Judgment, The judges were renowned and they stopped to examine each painting. There was one painting of a summer afternoon in a garden with a husband and wife lying next to each other on hammocks. There was another one that was a calm sea in the glow of a brilliant red sunset. Another that had a slight haze in a beautiful redwood forest. And another showed a family at grace during Thanksgiving. Each beautiful paintings. But then the judges came upon this painting. It portrayed a violent crashing storm against the wall of a cliff. And it seemed to the judges as anything but peace. Until upon close examination, they saw that up in the far right corner, in a little crevice in a rock, was a little dove sitting on its nest. Faithfully sitting there, though the storm might rage, though the world might have tempest, peace, genuine peace, is the ability to stay calm in the midst of a storm, not the absence of a storm. And I believe that what the prophets were holding on to is a day when we would understand that. Because look one last time at the last verse. For lo, the days are hastening on. By prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. See, that whole world is you and I. That whole world is how we will experience Christmas this year. That whole world is how we will reflect how important it is that the Messiah come and that the Messiah came. And the hope that Marilyn Tanner and her daughter and granddaughter called us to this morning is a hope that someday that actually will be true of this world. In Philippians it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Why? Because He is. Because God has willed through us that we are the example of that love in this world. So when chaos happens, and it will, when the kids are arguing, when you can't find the right gift for the right person, when you can't figure out why the Christmas lights don't work, they worked well last year, when you can't get quite up that ladder like you used to put up the Christmas lights, the peace of Christ still be with you. And let that shine from a deeper place than any of the catastrophes that surround and encompass our lives. Because God loves you. And God has called you to love a world that God loves. And when you get that message, that's the peace. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that as we look at these interesting carols, You continue to guide us toward who You are and prepare our hearts in a new way to focus on Christmas, to focus on the joy and the anticipation that because You came once, You're coming again. Help us. Help us through the holidays because Your peace abides in us. Amen.